advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King podcast.
Please read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
Hold on, guys. I'm texting right now.
don't text and podcast. Isn't that what they say?
Oh, are we podcasting right now?
Yes, we are.
Is that what we're doing? Yeah. Oh, well, I'm using the internet that Elon Musk didn't create. So,
and if you're not sure why he said that, neither am I, but
you know what? That sentiment, a lot of people have that same sentiment that you just had right there.
Yes.
Why the did he say that?
Yeah.
I even censored myself.
You did. That was
time.
Really impressive.
Yes.
You even kind of like, you threw out like a sound effect even. Yep. It was like a little Michael Winslow-esque, yep. Like a little rewind.
I'm on my podcast game.
Nice.
Unlike some of you fans out there, David Schmuck.
He's on his podcast
Oh,
game.
Yeah, he is.
He's good.
Yes. No.
It's the other, it's Alejandro
Rick.
Reina that always
no,
forgets.
Rick?
No.
Who is it? One of them.
It's Alejandro always
am
brings
I just
up things that we already have episodes
of. He does do that.
Yeah. Yes. But he's listening and we love him, but he does keep mentioning, he needs to go back to episode one and start to make sure he heard them all.
I'm just saying people's names. Who else? Josh Mayer.
Well, I did have a Facebook conversation with David Schmuck because he mentioned after our last episode when we mentioned him, because we wondered like, is that his real name?
Yes.
Or is that, and he was like, nope, that's my real name. He said, that's my real name and I'm not even Jewish.
One thing that I noticed is that we post an episode like because it's recorded and finished and we've already talked about it and recorded it and finished it and encoded it in an MP3 form, put it on our website because it's finished. And then people will then comment
how's the process go again?
We record it first and then we go in and I do stuff to it.
I know what you're saying, though. People start commenting, giving us recommendation about things that are
like,
already out.
That's going to be a good one. You guys should talk about this, not realizing, hey, we already recorded the show.
Right.
Like, so if it's on there, if it doesn't say next week we'll be talking about this and it says on this episode of the podcast, you kind of got to differentiate. So I think I did ask him to step their game up.
It must be our bad though, because lots of people do that.
Maybe it's a miscommunication thing.
Somehow, yeah. So, but we're trying to make it.
Or
clear.
They're not listening and trying to make us think that they're listening.
It's tricksters.
Yeah. I don't know. I blame me.
All right. So we are. This is the radio edition. So I'll be censoring myself for
and
the show.
The topic which we referred to, or Brad did in a roundabout way, is Elon Musk.
Yep.
Inventor, entrepreneur. Raconteur?
Modern day Tesla.
Perhaps.
No? Ooh, you're going to hold back on that?
I don't know. Because I don't know that they're...
He's not necessarily an inventor. He's just doing
a brilliant businessman and he's got a great vision, but I don't know that he personally is doing these inventions. So I don't know that.
Okay, we'll give him Tony Stark.
Yes, he's very much... As a matter of fact, people in the design process of the Iron Man movies were trying to borrow from Elon Musk, and they even filmed... most of the stuff that took place at like the Stark facilities, the Tony Stark facilities
in
Iron Man 2 were filmed at SpaceX places. So
I didn't know that.
He's kind of a, and the thing that I didn't know, and it kind of depressed me a little bit when I looked into Elon Musk, is that his birthday is June 28th, 1971.
Mm-hmm.
And my birthday is June 8th, 1971.
You guys were almost birthday buddies.
And so he's 20 days younger than I am. And he's the 39th richest man in America.
You got 20 days. You got plenty of time. Man.
Yeah. Well, you have to count that for over your lifespan. So that's like you could be 20 years late.
Yeah, man, he's going to burn out and you're going to
so he's going to burn out and then the podcast is going to make me like worth $30 billion.
Slow and steady wins the race, Dave. Right. Slow and steady.
That's right. And we are getting there. We're almost going to make our first
dollar. I can laugh at him and call him a loser because he's a college dropout.
Did he drop out? It said he attended college, but he did not attend classes.
He quit the PhD.
He attended University of Pennsylvania and got his degree. And then he got into grad school at Stanford and he dropped out like a loser to start a .com that he sold a couple of years later for $307 million. What a loser. Dropout.
I was just impressed that he didn't go to class. He just read the books and took the test. I didn't get to the dropout part. Apparently, I must have skimmed over that.
Well, he probably did that he is a brilliant man.
He's very Goodwill Hunting. He's like the real Goodwill Hunting. We don't know what happened when Matt Damon drove off in that car.
No, I don't even remember that.
Oh, well, it's a good movie. You should check it out. As normal, I did my research in chronological order as best as I could. So I looked at Elon Musk's childhood. Mm-hmm. And as expected, he was socially awkward because of his extreme intelligence.
Right.
So he had a photographic memory. He didn't get along with kids at school. And one of the funny stories I saw like in an interview with his mom was that he was afraid of the dark, as most kids are. But normally it's like, oh, there's a monster under my bed. And you're like, there's no such thing as monsters. Don't be silly. And you talk your kid out of it. But Elon Musk realized, I wrote it down here so that I can say it as eloquent as he did, that it's just the absence of photons in the visual spectrum. You know, there's no reason to be afraid of an absence of photons. It's silly, right? So as a child at 5 or something, he talked himself out of being afraid of the dark because he realized that how the physics of light actually work. It's just an absence of photons, and that's nothing to be afraid of at all. It doesn't denote a monster.
He just doesn't have very much imagination, because I then would have thought, well, what if there's a photon gobbling monster that's living under the bed?
You are better than him.
See, I got him twice.
20 days, Dave. Use that. Use that speed. Build up steam.
Yeah. No, but that's a crazy,
At 5.
Yeah.
So he didn't get along with kids at school.
Was this in South Africa?
Well, that's because he was still in South Africa. That's because at the age of 5, he was like 32.
Yeah. And we should say he was born in South Africa. He's born in South
Benjamin
Africa.
Button.
You're supposed to say South Africa?
It's Africa. South Africa.
Africaner. Right. It's Africaner.
Ifrica.
Africaner.
So, all right. I'll agree with Brad, so he's quiet. He was picked on at school. He didn't get along with kids. So he loved to read, like so much so that he read every comic book that he could buy. And he would commonly get kicked out of comic book stores for just standing there and trying to read for free all day.
Because he didn't have the money.
Like he read from the morning until it was time to go to bed. He just read everything. To the point that he actually like ran out of stuff to read. He read everything that was in the comic book store. He read everyone that he could buy, anything he could get his hands on at his house. And he finally ended up just reading the encyclopedia.
Think of how fat he would be if he only could read fortune cookies.
Man, Brad, when you don't study, you make up for it with cookie jokes.
I have to.
That was good.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Oh man.
But his nerdiness is profound enough, even as an adult, that he named one of his children Xavier after Professor Charles Xavier.
That's bold. That's awesome. Yeah.
And again, he's kind of a loser because you should have named him Charles because his name is Charles Xavier.
But this is the,
if he had any balls, he would have changed his last name to Xavier and he would have been Elon Xavier and then named his son Charles.
And then if he had even bigger ones, he would have kneecapped him, Tonya Harding him, and put him in a wheelchair.
And shaved his head.
I like I like Brad trying not to cuss. Even bigger ones. I don't even know if that's a bad word. I'm not going to say it. But.
Well, I didn't want to say it just in case, because I know Dave said it. But
I did.
It seems not offensive when Dave says it, but when I say something, it's more offensive. Like Dave's like, hey, ma'am, you look very nice today. And I'm like, hey, ma'am, you look nice today. And they're like, F you, sir. Leave me alone.
It's your tattoo. They're just scared of Dave because he's black.
And you just punch their baby.
Yeah. Or choke their teenager.
Yeah. Well, they applaud me for that.
So I was like, man, reads the encyclopedia. That's gangster. But it was the 70s and the encyclopedia was the internet.
That was the internet
at that point in time.
Well, what were those books called? You get a bunch of them.
The Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah, those.
Right.
I used to read those. They were cool.
He memorized the encyclopedia though. So his mom said that they would commonly go to him and they called him like the little genius or something because he could answer any question that they had you know, because it's in the encyclopedia pretty much. Right. He had the entire wealth of knowledge from that.
He just had a photographic memory, probably. Can just recall.
Yeah, no, he did. Yeah. That's crazy.
And I feel like I should rewind here for a second, mm-hmm. even though you're the one who's mostly been talking. We should rewind.
Okay.
Because I think if listeners might be listening and saying, I really don't know who the hell Elon Musk is at all.
Okay. I don't think anybody says that.
If anybody is, if you live in a cave, he is the inventor. He is the owner and founder and CEO, most notably of Tesla Motors, but also of SpaceX. And
if you don't know what Tesla Solar Motors City. Is, it's electric cars.
Yeah. Solar City. Founded PayPal, et cetera. Big like the wet dream of every .com entrepreneur, like everyone who started a .com and thought I'm going to make my fortune. It's like this guy did it 1,000 times. Oh, I made a huge .com, sold it, made a better one,
Every time a black person says the man is keeping me down, that's Elon Musk.
Is that like the angel gets its wings thing? But
I don't think it is Elon Musk.
His corporations. He is corporate. I don't know. I just said that.
I don't know.
Well, I'm going to keep moving, you guys.
Keep moving.
Are you doing he's 12 yet?
I'm almost to 12. I'm age 10. So computers come into the scene, and at age 10, he's just a genius. He can code. And so much, though, that IBM tests him, and his aptitude for computer programming is off the charts. It's the most that they've ever seen with anyone. And so he tries to start taking computer classes.
When he was that age?
At 10.
Wow. Yeah.
At 10, IBM tested him, who was like computers at that point. And his aptitude was off the charts. So he started trying to take computer classes, but he was more advanced than the instructors in the classes. So he couldn't even take the computer classes because it was a waste of time. Because that's how smart he was at 10. So he stops taking the computer classes and just goes ahead and codes his own video game called mm-hmm. Blastar.
Yes.
And sells it to like PC Magazine or something for $500 at the time. I don't know what the rate of inflation would be.
$1,200.
There you go. Man, Brad. Good Lord.
Okay. You were on the spot about that one.
Forget OK Google. OK, yeah. Okay Brad. Convert okay, Brad. $500 1972.
$1,200.
And then, so at this point, he lives in South Africa, and there's a mandatory, you have to serve in the military if you live in South Africa for a period of time, 4 years or something. And he does not want to do that, obviously. So he takes off to Canada, like at a very young age, all by himself. Oh, you happen to be reading. It's because Brad can Google like a madman when he doesn't study. He doesn't even need to study. He's got a smartphone and
$1,200.
Some pinch gestures.
That's all I know.
Yeah. But anyways, so he flies and leaves to Canada on his own at a young age. I'm not sure what age it is, but pretty independent at that point. And I think his brother ends up going with him.
I think he was 17.
17, yeah.
I think he was 17 when he left.
Just before the 18-year-old mandatory military. Yep. So he takes off to Canada and his brother goes with him. And at some point, they're already thinking like entrepreneurially, they try to open an arcade, but they're not old enough to like apply for the stuff. And it ends up falling through and not happening. And then he keeps continuing with business ventures with his brother. And that's where they get to what Dave's going to tell us about is Zip 2.
Isn't that crappy that you're just Elon Musk's brother? You're
his brother. I mean,
right.
In the shadow.
There's never his name said. Yeah. He has a horrible name.
Yeah. IBM tested me when I was 10 and said that I'm almost off the charts.
You'll never be as good as your brother, Elon.
Yeah. All right, nice name, by the way.
So you tell us about Zip 2, but I got to give that dude credit because he's a real smart guy. He is.
And I know his cousins are legit too, because they're involved in some of his stuff. So when I didn't catch the age at which he started Zip 2, but I'm guessing he was probably
22 when he sold it.
I know he sold
22
it.
22 when
no,
he did it?
No, he sold it at age 28 for.
Yeah, because he sold it in 99.
Yeah, he sold it at age 28.
So he started it at
$34 million. Yeah. And for $300 million and $34 million in stock options at age 28.
Yes. And Zip 2 was, it was bought by Compaq. And it was a web service that somehow electronically published newspapers and maps. So it was kind of just like
the trip of it was that the internet wasn't even there yet. And he had come up with this idea because he's like ahead of his time. So he starts figuring out how to, and he can code like it doesn't matter. Like no one can code. He can code anything he wants.
The interview that I read with him was that he would literally stay up 24 hours a day and just code, never stop coding, because he was so involved in the business. I mean, it was basically his life. They would, him and his brother, you know, him, they would sleep in the office.
For the record, it's Kimball Musk. I was waiting for an opening gang. Good job, Kimball. You're a good guy too.
Yeah. Well, they would,
I bet he didn't drop out of college.
Nope.
When they founded the company Zip2, they would sleep in the office and they would take showers at the YMCA. That's how poor they were.
I want to suggest we do Famous Brothers for an episode. It's, like, it's not the guy. It's his brother. It's Joey Travolta.
That guy sucks, though. Like, his brother, the brother always is not as good.
We should do the Famous Brothers.
Like, does Nicolas Cage have a brother? And they should do a face-off with
Brandon Kutcher.
Like,
I made that one.
John Travolta and his brother.
Joey Travolta. I met that guy.
I know. Bruce Willis and his brother. And then Nicolas Cage and his brother. And they do like a six-way face-off with their brothers.
Nice. You mean like the movie Face-Off?
Yes.
Okay.
The movie Face-Off.
I can
Face-Off. Face-Off 2, part 6.
Yeah, but then they got to be women first. And then they turn back to men. And I don't know. I lost the plot.
This always happens. When Brad doesn't study, he just tries to fill empty space. You don't have to talk.
It's not empty. I could talk about that movie. You know what? That movie is already playing in theaters in my head.
It's already greenlit.
It's
baby.
Already going. Yeah. That movie's funded.
Yeah.
Okay? Brad's speaking of Elon Musk work ethic, and he was actually quoted to say that if the other guy's working 40 hours and you're working 80 to 100, you're going to achieve in 4 months what it takes them 1 year. So he was a huge believer in having, you know, 12-hour, 20-hour work days.
And I also, I read about a lot of different geniuses of all, whether they're musicians, whether they're artists, whether they're mathematicians. It's like there's this constant thread of like geniuses like just not sleeping.
Right.
I don't know.
I think it's because your mind can't stop working.
But it just seems like at some point you're going to cry. But it seems like they just don't need it.
Well, it's the same reason I couldn't sit in the float. Like I was worried about going in the float tank. I can't stop thinking.
Yes.
I can't shut down my brain.
Right.
I do. I tested genius levels on IQ scores. So.
On like this test.
On these IQ test things.
It was at the arcade. It cost a quarter. You have to squeeze it really hard.
No. The questions were like super hard. They were like, is this a square or a circle? And I'd be like, well, that's obviously a banana.
Is banana an option? That's a trick question. This tastes like square.
You're looking really wordy right now.
We're way funnier at night, for the record.
Yeah, maybe we are.
I think we're just funny. Everybody asking me like, Jesus.
Yeah, what's wrong with these guys?
Why don't they just talk about Elon Musk?
So he does Zip2, and he started it young and sold it young for a total of $307 million plus stock. So
plus stock options of 34. And what I was saying was he was actually able to code before the internet was popular enough. He was so ahead of his time that no one had any belief that you would ever get rid of a phone book or a Yellow Pages. And so he was converting classifieds and newspapers and Yellow Pages into a web-based presence. And everyone was like, that's crazy. You're just going to look up in the book. I still have to fight with advertising people. They think that a book is not going to go away.
Yeah. It was perfect timing though, because they started that company right before the internet boom.
Right.
I mean, in 1995, they started the company, and then 1996 and 97 was when it really took off.
We were at 28.8 modems. That's what it was at. Yeah. Yep. So it was right like in the beginning.
Because like 14.4, nobody wanted to get on the internet. As soon as 28.8 came out, it was off the chain.
If you try to look at a picture of a naked cowboy, it took a minute and a half to get to the boots.
Yes. And then inkjet printers were so slow that like when you're printing out the picture of the naked cowboy, your grandma would walk in the room just when his penis is out of the printer.
You're like, oh, the timing is so bad on this.
It's horrible. But then when 28.8 came out, it was just done. You could do it.
You had to readjust.
Yeah. Your printer still sucked, but at least you could download the naked cowboy.
Less lotion, same amount of tissues.
Yep. So, that's horrible. Now I got a naked cowboy image in my head.
Been there
you always
years.
Do.
Yeah.
This is the world famous Sofa King podcast. Stay tuned and listen to more awesome words.
I know what you're up to, Brad.
Please read from sheets.
You're tricky.
Take a drink.
I'm not taking a drink. No. That's only the intro.
Well, we're back. This is the radio edition of the Sofa King podcast.
And
we are recording on a Saturday night instead of a Sunday morning. And I think Brent's high from the cannabis episode.
It's still lingering in his podcast system.
I'd fail a test, but it's not in there.
So the topic du jour is Elon Musk, entrepreneur, madman, and Tony Stark. We just talked about his early days in South Africa and then up in Canada where he started his other first venture. And then come 1999, right after he sold Zip2, he started up PayPal, which was called X.com at the beginning.
Yes.
But so he just thinking of how much of a visionary the guy is, he's looking at the state of the world as is, and he says, hey, these classifieds aren't going to be around for much longer. We should make them electronic.
Right.
And then he stops and says, hey, a lot, like right when, I mean, sales were just starting on the internet. I mean, it wasn't even a thing to even be thinking about. And he was like, we need to have some kind of a banking system so two people can sell stuff to each other and not feel like they're getting ripped off.
And also, think about, I don't know what his actual net was from 300 million and 34.
He made 22 million.
So he got 22 million. So some people might be like, okay, cool, fast car. I'll just get a house. Let's take it easy.
Right.
It's on autopilot, you know, right. But he immediately goes and starts.
Immediately.
Yeah. He doesn't waste any time.
Well, you can't stop. Like
some people could. Some people.
Yeah, but not him. That's what he does. Like,
right.
I think if he's the guy that's out there like, oh, hey, it's retirement time for Elon Musk, like he'll kill himself.
He couldn't do it. He couldn't sit. He would invent something even better. Like there's no way. So he does PayPal. He gets ousted as CEO, but is still on the board as near as I could tell, because everybody was very unhappy because he wanted to switch from Linux as their base operating system to Windows, and no one at PayPal wanted to make that switch.
Smart.
And they ousted him from being the head honcho, but he still owned his shares. He just didn't get to make the calls anymore. And then they sold it to Meg Whitman, who owns eBay, which now it's kind of the same thing. I mean, eBay and PayPal are just sort of an extension of each other at this point.
Yeah, I'm angry about that too. They're almost like the digital government, because you sell something on eBay, they charge you, right? You pay them. And then when somebody sends you money,
you pay PayPal.
You pay PayPal, and then you pay more eBay fees at the end of the month.
So they're like, yeah, she's the triple
digital
dipping.
Government. Yeah. It's like our taxes. It's horrible.
I don't like PayPal, and I never have.
I use it all the time.
I never use it. And whenever I do, I have no concept of what my username or password is. And I try every email I can think of and every password I can think of. And eBay's like, that's already taken. And that's not the right password.
My PayPal, I got on lock. It's the eBay that I don't have, because Sid always buys stuff with my eBay account. And he forgets the password and changes it to some slightly close to what I would have used, but not quite.
And Sid's his boyfriend who lives chained up down here in the basement.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Shut up, Sid.
I feed him.
All he wants is whiskey.
He's living off Mexican cookies from Brazil right now and whiskey. Yeah. He looks good. You look healthy, Sid.
You do.
You got color.
Yeah. You're actually kind of getting kind of fat.
But I
jog in place or something.
I have no idea why. I've just never liked PayPal. It makes no sense, but I haven't. And I'm taking a stance.
All right. We'll let you stand.
It's a vegan product.
That's true. So, no animals are harmed in the making of PayPal.
Nope.
But he sold PayPal and made $165 million. From the sale. And again, and this was in 99. He sold it in 99? No, he founded it in 99. I'm not sure what year he sold it. Doesn't matter. But
2002. Yeah, eBay acquired PayPal for $1.5 billion, and he walked away with apparently $180 million at age 30.
After taxes.
So again, like, oh, you just made 22 mil. What are you going to do? Make something that the entire world wants in the next 3 years?
It was the largest payment service in the world. Like, he immediately created it, and it became the largest payment service.
Right. Yeah. And I was just saying during the break, I think I've had my PayPal account for since like 2000. So almost 16 years now.
Like almost when they launched.
Yeah, almost when they launched. So yeah, they're huge.
There's a little Elon logo in the corner.
They're huge.
You got the vintage version.
Yeah. No, they never, you know, there was no other payment source. No. I mean, it's
pretty much
as,
until Amazon started competing with eBay by having the Amazon marketplace where you could buy stuff through Amazon as the
right.
You know, digital currency transfer. Because, I mean, again, the thing that he tapped into was security concerns and the fact that if I'm trying to buy an ugly Christmas sweater from some dude in Delaware, like, I don't want him to have my credit card information. I'm not sending him a freaking check.
That was the whole TV infomercial 6 to 8 weeks for delivery.
Yeah.
Like, mail a check.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, mail a cashier check or a money order allow 6 to 4 weeks or 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, 6 to 8 weeks for delivery. And he completely changed.
God, all can you remember? Yeah, that's crazy.
No, I do remember. And you would get like a paper catalog and you would send him a check.
Motivated about exercise and you order the Thighmaster, you're done. Like, no. By the time the Thighmaster shows up,
you're not exercising anymore. Yeah, exactly. But so he really was, again, a forward thinker. He created a thing that apparently the globe didn't even realize there was such a demand for, and it just exploded. I mean, when people talk about like this whole .com scenario and everybody was like dreaming of being these guys that would create a .com and then sell it for a ton of money, he did it twice in a row, you know?
Yeah, I think too, what really blew up PayPal was the basically internet porn, because you could pay through PayPal and not have it show up on your
and just have a generic PayPal statement.
Yeah,
and I don't know if that's true, but I believe that.
Yeah, so. And now it's used for, I mean, all kinds of, even if it's not eBay, you'll just randomly, you go to some guy's small website and he's selling whatever, and you tend to use
anyone
PayPal.
Can take PayPal from their phone now on your pocket.
Well,
PayPal,
they're starting to.
It.
If you go to AutoZone, there's a lot of Dollar General.
Do the jingle so bad.
You can do, but like AutoZone and Dollar General here, which is like a little general store place, they actually take PayPal. Like you give them this code. Like you say, I'm going to pay with PayPal. And then you click on the thing and it says 2473. Give that to the clerk. And they put it in their whatever they put it in. You can pay with your PayPal account.
That's crazy. That.
So, I'm pretty sure no one's heard of Dollar General and they all think we're white trash right now. They're going down to Dollar General. It just sounds like some super white trash hick store.
It's like a chain. I don't know. I've never even been everywhere in there. Yeah, I think so.
It's pretty horrible.
Yeah, it's probably Canadian.
It's a horrible store.
Yeah, it's Canadian, definitely.
I think I've been in one time.
I think it was founded in Canada, and then they started in Florida.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's pronounced Canada, just so Canada. You don't get embarrassed later. Yeah. Yeah.
So again, now to me, this is the moment in time that makes Elon Musk worthy of talking about and thinking about as a cultural innovator, as a person who's going to change the world. Because again, he walks away with in his pocket $165 million, and
I don't know. You said 150. I said 180. You said 165. We'll just meet in the middle. Let's just say he's got between 160 and 180 million.
He got hundreds. And again, he instantly doesn't say, "Well, I'm done." He starts to instantly think about his two biggest concerns, which interview after interview that I've seen with him, he said that his two biggest concerns are A, making sure that the planet remains sustainable. And his biggest concern is global warming and how energy production contributes to global warming. And then his other concern is getting humans off of the planet Earth so that if there's a planet wide catastrophe, it's not the end of the human race. So these are his two big concerns as a human being.
Yeah, he has no restrictions.
Yeah, so he made $180 million off the sale and then turned around 1 year later and spent $100 million to start SpaceX.
Exactly.
Just turned right around, put the money back in.
And the SpaceX thing was kind of a journey for him because he had a vision to build, and he still does have this vision, although actually it's changed. But originally, in about 2000-ish, he wanted to build what he called the Mars Oasis. And he wanted to create an experimental automated greenhouse on Mars that would like get its own water from the atmosphere, plant things, and you could kind of observe it and control it robotically from a distance just to see that, you know, to prove that we could start to, you know, establish stuff on Mars. And the only two people at the time that were launching commercial rockets were two companies in Russia, one called Lavochkin and one called Kosmotros. And they both said it couldn't be done. And one account that I read said that they were so offended at his proposal that one of the engineers spit at him during a presentation. presentation.
Man, that guy cares about his engineering.
Exactly.
Who is he talking to? Donald Trump?
I don't know. But so he left Russia disappointed because he couldn't find anyone that would put his project into space. And then he kept trying over a while. And what he wanted to do was buy an ICBM, which is an intercontinental ballistic missile, typically used to transfer nuclear warheads from Russia to America or vice
versa.
That's
when you know you're gangster and you got money. You're on the market for some ICBMs without the nuke.
Right.
No. Like you're just shopping.
Yeah, no, I don't want the nuke. I just want the ICBM. Yeah,
and surprisingly, those are very easy to come by.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, it was the 4th of July.
Yes. $8 million.
He was going big for the first
and they wanted $8 million, and that's that's all they wanted, $8 million.
Anybody can build a warhead.
We're in trouble.
Although this was 2000, now it's inflation, etc. Yeah.
So what is it? Okay, Brad.
$10,500,000.
$10,500,000.
So he decided at that moment, like, if I want to get things into space, I have to build my own space company. Which again, this is pretty unheard of.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, because NASA can't put anything into space, so he's going to have to do it himself.
And the two Russian companies primarily exist because they deal with the Russian government putting Russian government things in space. But in America, there was no such market, and he decides, I'm going to do it. So based on what I read, he calculated that building his own rocket would cost once he got able to do it, it would cost 3% less to build his own rocket than it ever would to build a rocket. Mm-hmm. Once he got his infrastructure established. And so he spent $100 million and started building rockets. In 2006, he was awarded a contract from NASA to design a craft and deliver cargo to the International Space Station. And it was a $1.6 billion contract.
I think you should definitely mention, though, for one, his success comes from not building his own stuff, but from streamlining stuff that already exists. Like, he's really talented at taking something that's there and just making it a little bit better, just like getting some stuff that NASA has and fixing it so that it's more effective and more efficient. Like, that's a huge part of his success came from that. And before he got to getting awarded that contract, he had like 3 failed launches, I believe.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. So and it was like launch, didn't quit, third time.
Yeah.
If they failed one more time, it's not that he would quit. He was actually quoted to say, I don't ever quit. I would have to be dead or completely incapacitated before I would not try again.
Yeah.
I simply would not have had the financing and resources, because he constantly dumps his entire net worth into whatever project he does, which is just crazy.
I think that's pretty stand up of him, though. Like, he's not requiring anything.
I mean, he's putting his money where his mouth is, man.
But he did just that with his brother. His brother already existed, and then he took him with him and made him just a little bit better than he would have been. I mean,
Kimball, we love you. So then fourth launch successful, and because of it, NASA awards the $1.6 billion contract.
Because NASA supply can't do it.
It was actually the SpaceX situation was part of their decision to retire the space shuttle fleet.
Yeah.
Because based on everything that Elon Musk was saying, and he has delivered, he said that if you let me do this, I'm going to radically drop the price of launches.
Yeah.
And since he started it costs $1 billion to launch a full cargo load to the International Space Shuttle. Costs $1 billion to do one launch. And now it costs $60 million when he does a launch.
That's crazy.
It's a 90% reduction.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's huge.
And that's exactly what he told him at the beginning. When he started, he said, I want to reduce by a factor of 10 the cost of launching things into space. And he's done it. And you'll read in the news all the time. Like, I always watch his launches. I don't like watch them, but I see whether or not they've worked. But I would say even today, for every launch that is successful, he has a launch that's a failure.
Yeah.
And he's not, half the time he's not sure why, until they dissect the burnt up craft or whatever, but he's launched them. They've docked at the ISS. They've unloaded their cargo. The main problem that he has now is, the Falcon 1, which is what he uses the most. And again, he's a big fat nerd because he named it after the Millennium Falcon.
I just caught that. I did not know that.
But the Falcon 1 rocket is consistently successful at this point, but like the Falcon 2 that he keeps messing with keeps crashing and burning. Or like, and again, like I read one article that was like talking all this smack about how his rockets aren't as good as they thought, and they were talking about his last failed attempt, which was a couple of weeks ago.
Who was talking crap on rockets? Some kind of rocket they got?
It was like some tech.
Yeah. What
blog,
rockets do they
tech,
have?
Yeah. That's like
was
the like fat a, guy on the couch no, talking exactly, about UFC exactly. fights. He's like, and, just yeah. grab his own.
Well, no, but wait for it. What he was trying to do was once he launched his rocket into space, the Falcon 2, he was trying to land it right. on a boat. And wow. it didn't work.
Right. Okay.
Like, that's not the rocket didn't launch. It's that I couldn't land it on a moving boat in the ocean. Yeah. And it landed on the boat, but then it fell and blew up.
Okay. So this is just, and you guys are not here right now. I'm talking to Elon personally.
Okay.
Just from one genius to another. Mm-hmm. You have the Falcon 1 and it works perfectly. Don't name the Falcon 2 Falcon 2. You name Falcon 2 Falcon 1 and it will work.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Give it
you
the
just,
same name.
You just back engineered it.
I do. That's what I do.
Because he took the IQ
back engineer a lot of things.
The IQ stuff.
That's true.
Thing.
That's yeah. the banana answer.
Yep.
And it's his
just,
his.
You guys just aren't on that level.
No, so I'm not.
You got to think. He's got to think outside the box.
I'm not. And his space goal is from right now in the next 10 to 15 years, he wants to be directly responsible for putting human beings on Mars. And his vision is that by the year 2040, he will able to help establish a colony of 80,000 people living on Mars.
That is very
that's
ambitious.
That's very
no,
ambitious.
No, I found very humorous.
And that's his goal.
Was when in his first aspirations to put someone on Mars. I actually read or watched a video of him talking about, he said, I wonder what our current plan is, looking for something exciting after PayPal. He wanted to go grandiose. And he was like, I wonder what our current plan is for getting someone on Mars. So he literally went to the NASA website and then just searched around for Mars stuff. And he's like, yeah, there's not really anything on here. So he decided to do it because he looked at the NASA website and they didn't have anything about Mars.
I mean, has he seen Total Recall?
That's probably why he wants to do it.
I know, but it's not all that great.
Three, well, you have three boobs will motivate
three boob prostitutes in Total Recall.
I don't know. I'm not too excited about it.
You guys trying to kill 2 minutes and 33 seconds?
No.
Get your ass to Mars.
No, but I did have a
thought. Get your ass to Mars.
I did have a thought that who are they going to use as trial people to go to Mars?
Tons
of people.
Do you know how many people would line up for that?
I'd say we send inmates.
Prisoners, yeah.
Yep.
Prisoners. I think that's, isn't that the thing on Total Recall, maybe? No?
Is it?
No.
Why did my voice get so high pitched as I moved on?
Total Recall?
No, there's going to be, I mean, there's even that nothing came of it, but they were planning on doing this reality show where they would launch people to Mars and they were going to fund it by stuff. But it's like when they pitched that reality show, there were thousands of applicants right out the gate to be like the first ones on an experimental ship going to Mars. Like people wanted to, I mean, there would be, I mean, tons of just regular astronauts, even like a retired astronaut would be like, I'll go. Man. Like, where do I, you know, tons of people.
I could see astronauts doing it, but like, I could see, like the Road Rules crew, like getting on a spaceship and like them filming a reality show.
Well, let's just say there will definitely be a reality show.
Oh, there
right?
definitely yeah. will. But I mean, there would just be, I
moms
mean, endless
of Mars.
Scientists.
Moms of Mars. The Mars housewives.
Yeah.
I mean, scientists, geologists, adventurers. Like there would be so many people that would want to go. Even if they knew it was a one-way trip, there would be so many people that would sign up.
Oh, that's one way. When you get there, you're dying.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
But not, I mean, his goals are to make it happen. And that's, again, like in his goal isn't just to put people on Mars for the sake of putting people on Mars. His goal is to put people on Mars because he's afraid of an extinction level event wiping out the human race. And
well,
he
eventually
wants to prevent that by having us be somewhere else as well.
Yeah. Eventually that's going to happen.
How many, how many seasons of Martian Idol were there be? That's
going to happen too. Martian Idol.
You might not want to sing a whole lot because oxygen's going to be at a premium.
Yeah. You want to save that. Put it, is everybody going to look like an old man carrying around a green oxygen tank?
I hope so.
On Mars?
With Martian walkers.
Martian walkers? Yeah. Zombies? Ooh, The Walking Dead, Mars.
A whole nother zombie genre.
Yeah.
Separate yourself from the morons. Listen to more on SofaKingPodcast.com. Stay tuned through the break.
Welcome back to the Sofa King Podcast Radio Edition. Today we're talking about Elon Musk and all of his inventions and genius. We were just winding up our talk about SpaceX. Now,
you
know,
say SpaceX?
SpaceX.
Oh,
Yes, I did say SpaceX.
There's no difference between SpaceX and SpaceX.
No, it's just
the syllable.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. So, no, I'm talking about SpaceX, not SpaceX. But
now I'm confused. My heart, I only have a chub now.
But he struggled to get it launched. He finally got it working, and now it's the largest producer of rocket motors in the world, and they boast the largest thrust to weight ratio of any known rocket motor. And they've created more than 100 Merlin 1D engines for various people around the world. So another one of their things is called the Dragon, which is actually named after Puff the Magic Dragon. So he's got his nerd working, and he's got a lot of that going on. But a year after SpaceX, he basically took the other half of his fortune, and he created
$70 million.
For Tesla Motors.
Tesla Motors.
So he creates Tesla Motors in 2003, and his game plan with Tesla Motors was interesting because his goal was to start by selling 2,500 Roadsters that were fairly expensive. Like, those first Teslas were really pricey.
Right.
But the goal was to make enough money selling these really expensive cars that would afford the next fleet that would be cheaper, which will afford the next fleet that will be even cheaper. So he's basically utilizing, like, the really wealthy that can afford these really expensive, awesome cars.
And he had no choice because of R&D and the cost of production.
Yeah.
He had to do the model, like, kind of reverse.
Right.
Like, probably most places start up making cheap stuff and then make it a more expensive product.
Right.
But he knew that there was no technology for that even in existence. He had to make it. So,
and I know on the East Coast, and I'm sure he's done this on the West Coast as well, but there's been a lot of talk on the East Coast about people who have, or the fact that he's building a large network of charging stations that go all along the East Coast, so that people on the East Coast that have Teslas can get on a free, because there's a lot on the East Coast, there's like a pretty massive commuting. Like, oh, I drive from Boston to New York or whatever. So he's trying to make these major metropolitan regions have charging stations so your Tesla can stop.
And they're free.
You can charge. Yeah.
For the life of your car. Yep. They'll always be free. He said he will never charge. You can always charge your car for free.
You go to my Instagram, @SofKingBrad. I have a picture of the charging stations that I was parked next to. Yes.
I haven't seen it. I'll have to see
it. Have to go on there.
But so he started with the Roadster, then he had the Model S. He's got another model coming out. He's got a minivan, kind of a crossover thing that's supposed to come out in the next year or so. So there's multiple versions coming out, but he ultimately said that he wants the Tesla to be selling for about $30,000, so that everyone could afford, and I don't even know what a typical new car costs these days, because I haven't bought one in a very long time.
A median car is about $30,000.
Okay. Yeah. So his goal is
you can get a car for $12,000.
Yeah, but you can get one, but you get what you pay for.
So his goal is to get the lowest Tesla to be $30,000, but to still have all the, you know, just being a pure electric car, et cetera. And again, I mean, when he started with that Roadster, it's high performance. I mean, it's not like you're running on D-cells
and like
putting along. I mean, it's a good car with a powerful engine and decent range. And you know, I mean, it's a legitimate good car. And there was nothing like it when he released it.
Well, the interesting thing about him starting up an electric car company is that the first successful car startup, the last successful car startup was Chrysler in 1925. Everything else has failed.
Everything else has crashed.
That, but what's up with Saturn? Isn't Saturn?
No, that's a GM.
That was a GM thing?
Yeah.
And so is Scion. Scion's Toyota. Yep. I mean, the last successful startup was in 1925, Chrysler. The last successful electric car startup never happened.
Right.
So he is the absolute first successful car startup.
Serious drawbacks. Yeah. Like the original projected cost, I think, was going to be like $60,000 per car was going to be his cost to do it. And something happened where they had to refigure it, and it was going to be $170,000 per car.
Right.
Also, when he was making the Model S, they hired they outsourced like a third party for designing something Fisker. Did you read about that?
No.
And that guy designed a really bad car, and then they found out later that he was side making his own electric car. That
oh really?
Just, yeah.
So
he was trying to sabotage.
Yeah, he got in there and just made
some Beastie Boys.
Legal battle between Musk and
Apple and Samsung
and Fisker, and Musk lost somehow. $40 million later.
Well, I mean, he would lose because the guys he paid him to draw him a car. He didn't say how good it had to be, probably.
Yeah, the guy made his own copy of it. He was there just gathering information.
But how is it his own copy when he's the one doing it. He's the one designing the car.
Well, somewhere in there, Elon saved the day because like they were going to fail. Like they had like a couple weeks worth of money or something, right?
Yeah.
Or to that. Yeah. Am I jumping the gun?
No, go for it.
Yeah. There was like a couple, there was like a month of money left or something. And morale was like way down. So Elon decides, well, a couple things happened. Somewhere in there, there was a company, I can't remember the name of it, but it's a subsidiary or something of Mercedes. So he goes to Germany and talks to the people.
Bins.
Yeah, there you go.
Daimler.
It was Bins. Daimler.
And they make smart cars. And he's like, hey, I can put batteries and electric engines in these smart cars for you. And they're like skeptical as to the way he can do it. He gets 4 weeks. They give him 4 weeks to do it. And they pull it off. They get electric motors and batteries in there. And so then the transaction's not going to come in time if that goes through. It's in like negotiation as to whether or not they're going to get any investment from that company. And so he goes in and talks to the board and says, here's the thing. I'm just going to finance it myself. And he's going to put the money in to save the company. So he dumps his net worth again back into Tesla. All the money that he made from PayPal.
Well, he knows anything. It's going to work, though. Like, that's the thing.
He
like,
doesn't know it's going to work. He was actually quoted in an interview I watched that he originally, when he even started Tesla Motors, thought it would most likely fail. He might not be able to do it, but at least he would be able to prove to the world that the concept was possible and just to get the ball rolling.
Well, and the other thing is, though, once you're a millionaire like that, you can come up with another idea to make money.
Oh, he's not worried about making more money.
He was worried.
Money is just a resource to him. I think he was more worried about failing.
Well, he said
that's the biggest thing.
He actually said, I mean, he was worried about it not going through. I mean, that's obviously risky business. You're dumping your last $100 million.
Well, your legacy relies on it. I mean,
right. Another quote from him is, when something is important enough, you don't even you don't count the odds, even if they're not in your favor.
Yeah.
So you just ignore it. Like, right. Just do it. No, he's just going to do it no matter what.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the Tesla thing. You know, it made me think about Tesla when he ripped up his contracts and said, "Well, I won't take any money," because he knew how important it was
for it
to move forward. And that's, you know, and that's where I make that Tesla association, Dave.
No, like, it's definitely, I mean, he's
such a visionary
there. Like, he's visionary and he is willing to invest all of the money that he has in order to make these visions come true.
And you know? It was such like, it was, I guess like they were like, oh, we did all this work at Tesla. We did all this stuff. We put all this stuff with the Fisker thing. This guy tried to steal our car and the legal battle and we lost $40 million. And now this is happening. And they had to re-estimate the cost of that car. All these things were against him. All this stuff was happening. I think even at that time, his wife left him. He lost his wife. He got divorced.
That's usually how it happens. Right. He spent all his money, put his money into the company.
Yeah, and then, I didn't read what happened with that. I'm sure he lost some money for that.
Yeah.
But he lost his wife.
But that was actually the second time he lost that same wife.
Oh,
wait
really?
A minute. Yeah.
He married
wait
her.
A minute.
They got a divorce. He I married her again. They got a divorce again.
I just figured it out. The reason he dumped all his money into the company so he wouldn't lose it to his gold digging wife.
Maybe.
You're not getting
there was
the
nothing
dime.
Brave about that.
Well,
I could be wrong, but that's just what I'm
because he did it. It was such like a selfless act of like passion and faith to say that I believe in this much. We're going to succeed that he dumped his money. He reinvigorated morale in the company and everyone got like supercharged and made it happen.
Well, of course, because they got paychecks.
And just as that stuff went to the bank, what's the company again? The D? What's it?
Daimler.
They awarded $40 million and gave them the contract for smart cars. And then like a couple weeks later or something, gave them $50 million more for like 10% in the company. So it all just came to like, he is the master of like just in the nick of time, like constantly there's just as much time left, but all that bad stuff happened at once too. It was like rocket crash, divorce. Tesla has like no money left in the bank. SpaceX is failing. All his money's reinvested. Like it could, everything he's done, all those great feats could go to nothing. And then just at the last minute stuff happens. And then apparently he met a British girl, who had no idea who he was supposedly, and married her. And
it's a beautiful thing.
Changed, like he was down and out and it changed his morale, which kind of helped with a lot of that too, because he met a new girl and made him happy.
Yeah. And now I know like aside from just selling the Teslas, which are successful cars and they're becoming more popular. I mean, it used to be, I would only see him if I drove down to LA and you'd see him every so often, but now I see him here in Bakersfield and I mean, the price is dropping and they're becoming more common, but they also,
I was thinking about going down and picking me up one. They're $150,000.
Yeah, I'll go snake one.
Yeah.
But the, I know he, the Tesla sells the electronic components and powertrains to Mercedes through Daimler. And then they also have some deals with an electric RAV4 with Toyota. They were the ones that made that design work. So I know they also have inroads with Toyota designing stuff for them. And then the most exciting thing to me that they've done is they created the Powerwall, which I know we've mentioned on previous shows, which is the at-home battery
right.
that they just started selling this year.
Looks like a Ninja Turtle shell.
Does it looks like a white Ninja Turtle shell. And if you have solar panels at your house, this battery stores it for you. And
I think you can use it with just power too. You just,
yeah, you can. That's right. That's
that
right.
way, if your power goes out, you have battery power.
It's more efficient
if you
have
solar power.
Yeah. It's a battery backup system. And all like basically when power rates are at the lowest, it's smart enough to know to charge the battery then so that when power rates are at their highest, your house doesn't use power. It uses the stuff in the battery. And the idea is that the battery, about 25% of what they call a typical American household, about 25% would be completely covered by the battery. So if you bought four of the batteries and put them in your, and I think they're $3,000 a pop for the batteries.
It was pretty reasonable, whatever it was. I remember thinking,
it was $3,000.
Normal people could get that.
$3,000. Yeah,
but really to fully do your house, you would have to buy four, which again, $12,000, it's not that big of a deal, especially if you already have a solar array.
And that's actually cheaper than a solar array too.
Right. So. And he said that in a state like California or Hawaii or Florida, where there's a lot of sun, he said that the Powerwall would completely pay itself back just in energy savings in 3 years. So completely worthwhile. And again, that's part of the goal is for him to get less, you know, hydrocarbons being burned, less stuff in the atmosphere. And one of the things that he said is he's really excited about the Powerwall because the Powerwall would ultimately, if you had a solar array at your house plus a Powerwall, and the Powerwall can also be a direct charger for your Tesla car,
right.
you could basically be driving your car on solar power.
Not on Mars, though.
Not on Mars.
No.
One of the... I just saw this too. The Type S model Tesla has the highest safety rating in the history of the National Safety
ever.
Yeah, Highway Safety
and
Administration.
And 7 people can ride in that thing. It's pretty impressive.
And the Model S is the cheaper one. The Model S sells for, what, 70 or something like
that? No, the Model 3 is the cheaper one.
The Model 3 is the cheaper
one. Yeah.
And then the other thing, and I don't know all the details on this, but he's using the cars to communicate with each other, and the cars are exponentially learning and becoming efficient at being self-driving cars more rapidly than the Google cars are, because he's got an entire fleet of them that are doing these computations. And even on the East Coast, there are some areas supposedly where the Teslas can auto drive, and he's trying to get them to all be self-driving electric cars.
Right.
And the way he's using the computation of them is it's not just like a handful of cars that are gathering this data. He's got all these cars gathering data so that he's going to do it at a quicker rate.
That's kind of creepy.
Hive computing, crazy
pretty
thing.
Much. And that's
now I'm
one
scared.
Of his goals. Don't be scared.
I'm very scared.
Don't be scared. And then also with the power, he and his two cousins started Solar City, which is the second largest solar power company in the United States.
Second? Come on, Elon. Second again.
I thought I read first, but yeah.
I would expect your brother to have a second place solar.
Well, these are his cousins, though.
He's so really good about doing that now, too, is like handing stuff off. Like he released all the patents for the Tesla technology.
Yeah.
He told his cousins, I will pay for it. I'm just going to be the chairman of Solar City. You can start this company. It will be your company. It's your money. I'm the chairman, but I'll give you the money to start it.
Right.
Which is really impressive.
Man, Uncle Elon, when are you coming here?
So, and again, he built it to combat global warming. And then he's currently right now building the largest solar production plant in the world outside of Buffalo, New York, which again, it's in America. He's not outsourcing it to some third world country. He's actually having they will be building the solar panels here in the States, and he plans to build another one in the near future. I did read a story today that said that Solar City is taking a hit on its stock prices right now because of the way energy pricing is right now, and
they're
government
trying to
rebates
screw them,
are changing, and they're trying to screw them. So a lot of the business model right now has to do with government rebates for you getting solar. So the stock market is dipping on Solar City.
I've gotten
the moment.
So many calls of people trying, oh, there's a government rebate right now. You want to talk to us a little bit and you can get free solar panels. And I'm like, no.
I don't want to do that. Dude, there's just guys and clipboards everywhere.
Yeah, you know how Elon was able to build the solar panels in New York, right? When the parts were getting shipped over from China, he had the workers thrown on the boat with him.
This is Brad talk. I don't believe it.
That's a true statement.
Statement.
What part?
Statement.
I don't think so.
China people on the boat. He had the workers sent over with him.
Is this going to transition to webisode?
No, no. Spit out our last 2 minutes. No, he was.
Are you in a Hyperloop?
No, it was actually, he looked at it. He thought it was easier to build compounds for the Chinese people than it was to actually hire American workers. So that's what they did.
I can't tell if you're joking or not, but there are offshore assembly factories.
You guys didn't read this?
Boats. I didn't read that.
So I'm just kidding.
That's what I thought.
Not true.
Even when I believe you, I was testing
your Elon Musk knowledge.
I didn't know.
We don't know everything.
Oh, come on. But no.
Wow.
I don't know if that's worth it.
So there's still a couple of things to talk about with Elon Musk, which we'll have to save and continue the discussion after the radio episode ends. But we can tease it. But in the meantime, so at the end here of the radio mode, final thoughts on Elon Musk. I said at the beginning that I don't think he's the level of genius that Tesla is, but maybe he's not level 85 and loving pigeons yet.
He's got time.
Maybe he's the same level of genius, but it's just a different type of, because I don't think his genius is in the invention. I think his genius, kind of like Steve Jobs' genius, is in getting a crew to make something happen.
Yeah. Right.
I've talked to a couple of people who work for SpaceX, and they say it's just a great place to work. It's just a great atmosphere. Everybody's treated well.
He seems like a genuinely nice guy when you watch videos and he's meeting people, even though I reached out to him on Twitter and he didn't get back to me. So
that son of a bitch.
He's a child molester.
Man, we had 2 minutes left. You guys got to edit that now.
Why do I have to edit that?
Oh, I don't know.
It's just my opinion. Allegedly.
So I think maybe he is the level of genius at Tesla. He's just a level of genius at different types of things. I think he would have been smart enough, unlike Edison, to see Tesla and say, yes, you're going to come and work for me.
I don't know. We talked about that. I think Tesla would have went crazy and split the world in half.
Yeah, I think so, maybe you're right.
That's like a double-edged sword.
I know the difference is Elon Musk gets laid, and Tesla
in love with
a pigeon. He killed his manliness.
He was getting laid. He was just putting it in a pigeon.
No, he said he put his sexuality to an end or something at some point. Tesla did. Yeah,
because he kept getting himself electric baths. I think it tends to lower your sperm count, daily electric bath.
Yeah. Yeah, that's insane.
But I think it's a good nod towards Tesla that he names this truly innovative automobile, because the Tesla car is unlike anything else. And he even talks about the fact that we just don't. I mean, even cars, he says that the electric car market is small to non-existent. And he says it constitutes an average of far less than 1% of total vehicle sales in the world. So if he's able to make that change and help to facilitate a world that's using he even has designs for an electric jet. That's a big battery.
So we're going to continue and talk about artificial intelligence by Elon Musk
and the Hyperloop.
And I have no idea what that is. So if you're listening on the web, continue to listen and we will continue to talk. If you're on the radio, go to sofakingpodcast.com and download this episode and get the full length content. Don't be a retard.
You've just heard a radio edition of the Sofa King Podcast. To hear an uncut version of this episode or listen to a separate web-only podcast every Tuesday, visit sofakingpodcast.com or find them on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or your favorite podcast app. You can reach the Sofa Kings at Sofa King Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Welcome back, bitches.
The instant the radio edit ends, the swear words drop.
Yeah. Now I'm in my home.
So we're talking about Elon Musk. We've talked about most of his inventions and the two sort of most recent ones, one of which is the Hyperloop, which he announced in 2013 in August. And the Hyperloop, he basically, again, he looks at things that he doesn't like the way it's working. He loves the idea of a high-speed rail in California, but he thinks that the current high-speed rail project is a complete, I'm going to say
it's a disaster.
Boondoggle.
A boondoggle.
It's a fucking boondoggle.
That's a new one.
You've never
heard
boondoggle?
No, I like that word.
It's a real word.
It's a real word. It's a boondoggle. It's just a complete clusterfuck. Nothing's working. It costs too much money. Nothing's being built. The original track runs from like my butthole to Clovis or something. It's like this bad route is being built.
I want to give Bank of America credit because they had the Hyperloop in like 1985 because it's that crazy little can that you stick in the thing. It's all, that's all it is, dude. They had that. They've had it forever. They just got to put people in chairs.
It's not.
I said that exact thing.
Yeah, lawn chairs. You got to strap some chairs in there, a couple zip ties.
Yep. Everybody just get into a pill-shaped vehicle.
Elon.
The high-speed rail is supposed to cost this ridiculous amount of money, but if you built a Hyperloop from...
Well, this is the one thing I like about Elon Musk getting involved in that, is that he's going to dump his money into it instead of charging the taxpayers
actually
high speed rail.
In this case, he isn't.
Oh, I hate you, Elon, again.
Where's
your brother?
No, the reason that it's kind of pimp though is that he basically he had SpaceX and Tesla engineers design it and get a fully like functional, well engineered design for this Hyperloop. And he basically, as soon as the plans were done, he just released them. He said, "This is how you do it. Anybody who wants to do it, go fucking do it. I'm not going
to
stop you."
So he doesn't want to get involved.
He basically said, "I have too much on my plate right now to build this."
He just knows that the other thing's a pile of shit.
So right. Like, and he said, "This is better, but right now I don't have the time to invest in making this happen. I hope somebody does." And he even said, I forget what his timeline was, but he said, "If no one has done this in 20 years or something, I will probably do it myself." But he said, "I'm hoping that someone's going
to
do
it." So he's busy for 20 years is what he's
basically
saying.
That happens to me, but on a smaller scale. I have like little good ideas where I'm like, "Oh, we should do that." But then I don't have anyone to give.
Well, your version of that is you take a tube, put it in your butt and stick gerbils in it and let them go down the tube.
Nope.
No,
mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm. No,
that's what I heard.
Nope. It was a taco franchise that never came to fruition.
Right.
Someone could do it. I tried to give that away. They could have done it.
No, nobody could do it.
But it's Hyperloop. So there's a group called Hyperloop Transportation Technologies, and it's building a 5-mile track right now around the community of Quay Valley, California.
It's going to go so fast. It can make it to like New York in 5 minutes. A 5-mile track.
Well, what the Hyperloop
you're
is.
You're going to get the bins in that thing if it goes to New York in 5 minutes.
No, 45 minutes or
something. What the Hyperloop is.
That's insane.
He calls it, where's the word here? A subsonic air travel machine. And it's basically, it's a tube of some sort of a gas that, basically, like you said, it's like those pneumatic, you know, things, but there's a gas in it that keeps anything from touching the sides, et cetera. He's got the whole thing designed. Mm-hmm. It's completely energy sufficient. The solar panels that go on top of the Hyperloop tube will be enough to power the entire Hyperloop. So it won't even take any
electricity. It's like one of those shirt cannons at the hockey game, but there's a longer tube. That's literally what it is.
But the thing is, the design,
I think it's a little more sophisticated.
Yeah, it's still pretty sophisticated.
Concept.
That's
a basic concept. A little bigger, man. A little bigger.
I mean, it's just like
a little bit of gas in the tube.
You watch the cartoon Futurama and you see everybody floating around cities in tubes.
You ever made a potato gun?
But the design is supposed to get you from Los Angeles to San Francisco in 35 minutes.
Oh, maybe my New York projection was a little bit off.
I was going to say because a plane travels at like 700 miles an hour.
The Hyperloop's 800.
Well, it takes 6 hours to get to New York from LA. So
That's still pretty impressive because you would have to get
there in 5 hours.
And part of it is there's no, like the principle is it's not that you would constantly be having to wait for your time and your flight. There would just be constant cars.
Just hop on a pill.
You would just get there, wait a few minutes. Yours stops. You get on it. Yours takes off.
It's like the tram at Disneyland.
Yeah.
They're going to find out that like a terrorist can just drop a marble in it or something.
And destroy
you
the
just
whole
drop
thing.
Your pocket change when you get you step
just,
off.
You just Edward Snowden that idea.
A nickel at subsonic speed just blows the tube up and you end up in the middle of Texas in a field.
He had the vision. I mean, he basically paid for the design by telling SpaceX and Tesla engineers like, "Hey, I know you're on salary designing cars, but in the meantime, you know, design this too." So I mean,
that's how easy it was to do. They were already doing other shit. And they just designed another tube.
I'm telling you, basically, it's like a hockey t-shirt gun. And it wasn't that hard.
So Brent just designed it.
Yeah basically. Yeah.
Eli, I just don't know where to find tubes that big. I can get chairs at Lowe's. Yeah, man.
Eli Manning contacted
air compressor, Brent. Harbor Freight. We got this.
God.
But that's the Hyperloop. And again, it's just like the patents on the Tesla cars that he basically gave out in good faith. And the reason he gave the patents out, A, I think now that we talked about that guy who tried to dick him over by designing his own cars, that might have been a big fuck you to that guy.
Right.
It's like, oh, you really want to come in and sneak around and find all our shit? Here, we just gave it to the world.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, go ahead, you. Try and build them. Yeah. Like, yeah. Who's got $100 million to put in? Exactly.
What would that do, like, to transform just everything? Like, you could work in New York or something almost. You know, you could work in completely different places. It would change everything.
With Hyperloop, yeah.
I guess you can do that with virtual presence on a lot of things anyway, but to be able to be somewhere so fast, or even maybe the transport of goods, like maybe it changes the entire structure of like diesel trucks driving, right. You know what I mean? Like, right. Like they can just send carrots through a bunch of transport ones or something and show up.
And the thing, it's like, I mean, I living in Bakersfield, I mean, by car, we're, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours from LA, depending on traffic.
Yeah. It's like an hour and 10 minutes.
Well, you depending on speed limits.
They've asked to pee twice.
Speed limits.
But the fact of the matter is, if it takes 35, I thought that was a conspiracy theory. It takes 35 minutes to get from LA to San Francisco. It's going to take what? 5 minutes to get from Bakersfield to LA.
Yeah.
I mean, that would just be fucking ridiculous. Yeah. I mean,
my question
it would make cities like Bakersfield or even Fresno basically become a suburb for LA.
We already are, and it's a drive. Like,
but if you can get there in 10 fucking minutes,
nah, it'd be worse. Weird stops. How does it stop? How long does it take to slow down? You're gonna have to pick up someone in the middle.
It would just go and stop. My question is, what do the wrecks look like when one of them gets stuck in the tube and the other one's coming 800 miles an hour at the other one?
Oh, I'm sure it's disastrous.
They have magnetic shields.
They probably do.
They just bounce off.
Some crazy like.
From one of the things I read that there would be cars that are express cars. So it's like you might get on a car that makes a lot of stops between here and Fresno, but then there might be a direct from Fresno to San Diego with no stops, and that car gets full and you're just like straight there. So, if you had to stop at every single thing, that would take forever. But same thing with a regular train, it's like a train takes forever. Like getting from, like I take the train to Oregon every so often, and getting getting from here to San Diego is like a significant amount of that time.
Tell me more about this Oregon train. You have to ride the bus, right?
Hold on a second. No. You go to Oregon and travel to San Diego?
Sacramento. Sorry.
Wait a minute.
Getting to Sacramento takes a significant amount of time because you stop at every fucking podunk city along the way. But once you get to Sacramento, Sacramento to Portland, there's like two stops, period. And the train's just hauling ass and it doesn't stop. So same thing if you travel across country. If you get on an express, it just doesn't make those stops.
How much is that ticket from Bakersfield to Oregon?
It's like $100. It takes like 18 hours.
I was saying, because it was like $30 or something. I mean, 18 like that to hours go to San Francisco. Sucks,
but that's not more than a. Is there like a sleeping car? Can you sleep?
It's the train. No, the train is way better than a bus.
I've been all over Europe in a train, and then there was like, I've done that. It was like 19 hours.
You can take your own food. You could walk in with tables, a bottle of whiskey.
A good view.
Like, you're just amazing view. It's gorgeous.
Yeah. Walk in with a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, you can.
You can take a bottle of whiskey?
Yes.
How much was the ticket?
$100.
Done.
You didn't know you could drink?
Goodbye,
family. No, everybody there has a fucking cooler.
Goodbye,
with beers
family. He's just dragging a Yeti on the train.
I had no idea I could go Yeti hunting in 18 hours and bring my own whiskey.
No.
What kind of food?
Yeti, honey. The cooler Yeti.
We're going to Washington or Oregon.
No. Talking about the ice chest.
I thought you were talking about a Bigfoot.
I'm talking about the $500 ice chest.
Well, apparently we're not familiar with $500 ice chests.
I see that now. I'm like,
to me,
why is that a bro thing? Like, I don't understand.
To me, that ice chest is exactly as elusive as a Bigfoot.
Tailgate, like, I can drive this ice chest.
I don't have one. You've never seen them, though? That's what I was...
Sorry, man. I don't know.
No.
Jesus Christ. You don't even go to the store. This is horrible.
No.
What?
Do you even tailgate, bro?
No, I don't.
No. That implies liking a sport.
But, man, that is a long time. 18 hours, though. That's a whole day there and a whole day back, too.
But you take the night train...
Right.
Which is a public enemy song.
The song.
You take the night train and like you leave Bakersfield at 6, you get to Sacramento at like
get to Oregon 3
1
days later
in the morning, okay. And then you get on a different train that has like bigger seats that recline, and they shut all the lights off and make sure everybody's electronic devices are off, and you just fucking go to sleep, and then you wake up and you spend like half a day on the train and you're in Oregon. It's pretty dope. I wouldn't take
better
the morning
driving
one because that would suck, because then the timing wouldn't be right. But if you take the night one,
I'm doing this, man. I haven't been on an adventure in a while. I did that all over Europe, and I remember that's what we did. We like slept on the night train and did that. Yeah, except for guys from Morocco won't try to steal my bag on the way to Oregon. probably
not.
Oh, I'll be on there in a Yeti suit. Yeah.
But the thing is, like, the fact of the matter is, like, if you got that stoked about taking a fucking 18-hour train to get up there,
imagine if you take a 35-minute
train.
Yeah, but it's like a road trip is always cool until you do it.
That's right. So, but I mean, if they had one that went to Portland, it would take, what, an hour and a half? Like, that's fucking ridiculous. That's faster than an airplane. That's faster than the Hyperloop would be dope.
So we got a little bit off topic. That's on topic, I guess. We're talking about the
tangentially.
Train. So I'm interested in this artificial intelligence.
Okay, so the AI thing, and this is his most recent startup, and he just started it in 2015.
And he is fearful. He is outspoken about cautiously approach that.
He and there's a handful of people who think that AI is a really bad idea. Stephen Hawking, there's a philosopher and engineer named Stuart Russell, and they think that AI is going to become a non-stoppable intelligence explosion that can ultimately lead to human extinction.
We talked about AI before, and I was not really concerned.
You took that test. I mean, it's pretty
Listen. I'm kind of concerned now because you have the when he was 3 years old, was the top programmer in the world.
10.
Is concerned.
And was not. He tested high.
Right. Yeah, he's
the highest ever.
Yeah.
Is concerned about artificial intelligence and how cautious we should be. That.
Along with Stephen Hawking, world's smartest man.
He can't even talk.
But he's still worried.
Come on.
He's still the world's smartest man.
It's the government talking through the mic. We already talked about that.
I watched a thing with a bunch of physicists that said that Stephen Hawking's just celebrity because of his condition. They were like kind of
bitter. If he was normal,
they're
kind
of like, he's not actually that good of a physicist. There's a lot of better guys, but he gets a lot of press because of his condition. Yeah. I was like, God, that's rough.
That is rough.
It's because the media likes to
They're mad because they weren't on The Simpsons.
Destroy people.
Right. But his thought was, and this is a quote from Elon Musk, and he started a thing called OpenAI,
right.
And this is another startup that he's just done. It's called OpenAI. He just started it in 2015, and he says that he wants to, quote, counteract large corporations who may gain too much power by owning super intelligence systems devoted to profits, as well as governments which may use AI to gain power and even oppress their citizenry.
So let me put this into layman's terms. He's going against Google and the government.
Basically.
Yes.
Yes. That's exactly right. He's worried that Google is going to do too much to make money and they're not going to share what the AI is capable of with the citizens. And he's afraid that the government any one government, like whoever cracks that nut wins.
Well, because the potential of AI is like you could say, check this out, cure cancer for me. And in an hour, it's all plink and a little thing prints out. And it's like, there you go. That's the molecule. Next, diabetes, plink, and it starts spitting stuff out. So you could allocate those resources for good or evil or predicting the stock market or lottery numbers.
Why do you think he wants to put people on Mars? Because he knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, he knows we're all going to fuck ourselves down here.
As that happens, we're fucked.
You mentioned good and evil, and this is another quote when he explains why he started this, the OpenAI project. He says, quote, what is the best thing we can do to ensure the future is good? We could sit on the sidelines, or we could encourage regulatory oversight, or we could participate with the right structure with people who care deeply about developing AI in a way that is safe and is beneficial to humanity. We want to empower as many people as possible to have AI. If everyone has AI powers, then there's not any one person or small set of individuals who can have AI superpower.
So someone's getting ahead of the game. It's not going to just on equal playing field. That won't happen.
No, that's not going to happen.
But it's a it's a notable goal. And again,
I predict his supervillain. He's been nice for a long time.
He has been nice. But the thing is, and same exact scenario here. He's investing a lot of his own money into it. He's getting a lot of other people to invest as well. But all the patents, everything that it's an AI research lab, right. Every single thing that they discover is going to be published and open and just free to anyone.
Seems like a good thing.
What he's doing, though.
Free guns are everywhere. Bad guys grab them. Like there could be some terrorist guys.
This is the thing that he's doing with the open source is that he's making it where we kind of talked about this in the cancer episode, where if it's not monetizable, they're not really going to look at it or they can't make money off of
right.
it. So even though that stuff's out there, Google would figure it out anyway, or whoever.
Sure.
But it's open source and I would have access to it. Dave would have access to it. You would have access to it. We just wouldn't have the money to do it.
We would just have the hood open on the side. Yeah. Just staring at a steaming engine.
And I mean, I understand that you're concerned that like bad people will get a hold of this technology.
And they will.
And they will. But I think part of his rationale here is the fact that no matter what,
bad people
are going to get in touch with this tech. I mean, when Robert Oppenheimer built the nuclear bomb, his honest theory was that the yield of the bomb was going to burn off the entire atmosphere and kill everyone on the planet Earth. And when they said, so you still think we should do it? He said, yeah, we have to do it, because if we don't do it right now, the Germans are going to do it in 2 years.
Right.
Like one way or the other, this bomb it's is happening. Getting detonated. Yeah. We might as well just get it over with.
Yeah, it might as well be us doing it under our supervision and control.
Exactly. He's saying if we get people who care about the ramifications and are genuinely concerned about how AI spreads and what its capabilities are, I'd rather have them come up with the AI than Google or the Pentagon or whoever. And he's already on the OpenAI project. He's already gained $1 billion in financial commitments from himself, from Tesla Motors, separate from himself, but the company itself decided to do it. The people who founded Y Combinator, people who founded LinkedIn, one of them, his partners from PayPal, Amazon Web Services itself is investing in it because I think they're realizing we can't outdo Google with AI, but we need AI for our logistics.
Yeah, they got to get rid of the people.
Yeah, exactly. So there's tons of people who are investing in this thing. And again, the idea, it's called OpenAI as the name of the company because he wants artificial intelligence to be open source, which I guess is ironic because he got fired from PayPal for wanting to go away from open source into Microsoft.
You said that. I don't know. I can't remember what I read. I knew there was Microsoft controversy, but I always felt it was the other way. I'll look after. But I think
I even did a double take when I read that because it seemed like it was Microsoft. The exact opposite.
He doesn't seem like something he'd want to do.
He's probably trying to get
like a battle Bill Gates.
There might have been something there, like the reason that there had to have been a reason for him to go to shitty Windows.
I gotta say, and you might disagree with this, but if Bill Gates and Elon Musk got in a fight, Bill Gates would whoop his ass.
What? No way. What do you mean? So. Yeah.
Bill Gates is like
just said that.
Bill Gates is like a tough old piece
of
leather.
I think you're bullshitting.
Crazy. No, man.
I think you're bullshitting.
Elon Musk is from South Africa.
Brent, I think he knew we were going to fucking be upset about that statement.
No, at first you're going to be like, oh, Elon Musk is whooping his ass. Bill Gates is going to pull a rope-a-dope. He's going to be like up against the wall getting beat the fuck down. Elon Musk is going to get tired.
Elon Musk is a young, strapping man, and Bill Gates is like old.
Bill Gates is leathery.
Yeah, he is leathery.
Exactly.
He is beef jerky.
You can't fucking beat him down, man. I don't know. He's immune to malaria.
He looks like an old piece of bacon with glasses.
He does, dude. You try beating up a piece of bacon, see who wins the fight. That's all I'm saying.
I always win. I eat that shit.
Fuck you, bacon.
I'll fucking bite. Bill Gates, if you're out there, I'll bite your fucking head off. You hear me? We'll have to place bets on that.
I'm going with Bill Gates.
My robot chicken did it already.
Yeah. They probably did.
So speaking of Tesla, speaking of artificial intelligence, apparently artificial intelligence made the Tesla pigeon shirts crooked, some of them.
Oh, yes.
Because
we had the pigeon t-shirts that we put out through.
Yeah, so if you did Teespring, if you did get a crooked shirt, Brent got one and Mike Money got one. We didn't do them, and apparently either a cross-eyed or one-eyed person did them, or artificial intelligence that was just offset.
Really bad AI.
Yeah, the image was offset off the center of the shirt. So you can contact them. They will send you another one.
And you don't have to give the other one back.
You don't have to give the other one back, so you can give it to bum on the corner.
And if you don't care that it's crooked, just get a different size and give it to your grandma.
Hey, you should give that one to Smokey.
I will.
For sure.
Let us know anyway, because I'm just kind of curious if this is like an epidemic thing. Like if any of you did get a pigeon t-shirt and it's crooked or off.
And the other shirts are shipping right now too. So yeah, you got so the logo shirt or a sweatshirt. Yeah. We don't know.
That was kind of an offshoot thing, experiment. Like just to try.
And but yeah, if it's crooked, let us know. Cause we'll do our t-shirts through a different company. But if it's if we just.
Well, and those are just a small fundraiser thing. So, those of you who did order, thank you. We're able to kind of buy some things we need.
Some drywall.
Yeah. Well, actually, we got to pay for our domain name before somebody else takes it.
Ooh! Don't even announce that, you son of a bitch.
I have time to do it. So
right now.
Hold on, let me stop the recording. Okay, done. We're back.
Redomain.
We now own that.
Okay. Oh, and by the way, speaking of domains, I got way too excited about this fact, but they didn't own the domain for Tesla.com until 2015. Some guy named like Stuart Gunnarsson owned it since 1992 and ran a really shitty website about Nikola Tesla on it.
Oh, wow.
And they took it from him?
Did he get it or they expired?
It just said that they bought it from him.
For an undisclosed amount.
Yeah, they paid him a good amount of money.
Paid him a good amount.
Yeah, because if Tesla Motors is coming at me wanting my domain.
No, the guy was actually crazy. They gave him a pigeon coop and a box of saltines. If you got a shirt that wasn't crooked, please take a picture and post it for us. Sporting it. Yeah.
Yeah.
With nothing on the bottom, though. Don't wear anything on the bottom, just on the top. But we don't have to see the bottom. We could just assume you're naked on the bottom. Okay. Too much? Did I cross the line?
Shout out our sponsors.
I thought we were in the nest. Are we not in the nest?
Shout out our sponsors.
All right. Thank you to Red Ridge Beer Co. from back in the day, because that's my buddy Mason, and we still got your poster hanging up, buddy. But the actual sponsor is that Beard Stuff, and they're probably pissed now. But thank you to that Beard Stuff for making me a shiny, handsome man and kind of greasy on a hot day in Bakersfield.
Nothing. Go.
All right. And thank you to Digital Creations for coffee mugs and all our cool stuff that they make for us over there. Yep. And thank you, Ruger,
She makes my nude body wraps.
Nude body wraps. Mm-hmm. I didn't know they offered that service. Yep. Who am I forgetting right now? Because Brad said nude body wraps.
Forgetting the one
just
that you like.
Me in a nude body wrap.
You had like a hot sauce nerdgasm about yesterday.
El Yucateco sent us. Like, how tall are you, Dave?
I'm 6'4", 6'5"-ish.
Wait a minute. Five. How do I get here? And I'm just now hearing about this.
Because you were an hour late and didn't even know we were doing a podcast tonight. We had to call you.
I remembered when she called me.
Brad, for the record, Brad was at a kid's birthday party and had to like ride pool over here with no headphones. And I took the shitty headphones. Oh, but anyways.
Are they tingy?
El Yucateco sent us a hot sauce bottle of the XXX foam, like stand-up giant hot sauce bottle.
That's your favorite one.
Taller.
Too.
Yeah. It's my favorite. It's taller than Brad and I, but Dave barely makes it over the top like the Nickelodeon guy from back in the day that says in a minute.
The Kool-Aid man?
No, I'm dating myself with that in a minute thing. But I'm going
to
say.
I hear you like to date yourself.
Nobody knows how excited I am about that giant hot sauce bottle because I really am like a seven-year-old kid. With
he was like bouncing around the shop all like so geeked out.
So if you're around the hot sauce bottle, don't touch it.
No.
Why? There is semen on it from Brad. Man. For sure. Man. That's a guaranteed fact.
I do love that hot sauce, but I don't do that. I draw the line. We're just, we're really good friends.
We did post some photos of it on our Instawebs. So you can check us out. Sofa King David at,
son of a bitch.
And you know what? And thank you to Shane Harkin for posting a really cool picture of some kangaroo tacos that cost like at least like $27 dues. Like, I don't know how many dollar dues tacos cost.
$27 dues?
Actually, I talked to Shane Harkin for a little while, and tacos cost like $10 for three tacos, $20 for a six pack of beer.
Is it anything American over there?
$25.
Is expensive?
$25 for a pack of cigarettes.
Wow.
Yep.
What is going on over there, Shane? How do you live?
Yep.
Wow. Man. I'm upset. Actually, whoever's marketing that stuff in Australia is killing it.
It has something to do with import.
Why do
tax.
We
He's
not
trying to explain it to me?
We need to go over there and just be like prohibition style fucking cigarettes and beer.
We just need to go over there and charge like $30 a podcast.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to work out.
It's going to fucking work out. I got a plan. I'm a business genius. I got 20 days to catch up with Elon Musk. All about selling our podcast to Australians. Yeah. $30 a podcast.
You didn't know his new nickname is Blacksla.
That's right.
Blacksla.
I don't get it either.
Black Tesla.
Talk
but
us out.
On Blacksla. A serious note, thank you, El Yucateco, for all the hot sauce and the deliciousness and that giant hot sauce. Thank you so much.
Yep. So, SofaKingPodcast.com. You can go there and leave your comments that will be eternal on our episodes. Don't say anything stupid, please. Terry McGee.
I feel like, yeah, we need to shout someone else out. I don't know who it is.
I've been saying names all day. Terry McGee, Victoria Barton.
Sarah Cook.
Sarah Cook. I have people. If you want to follow us on Instagram, we're just building our following right now. Well, me and Brent are anyway. So at Sofa King Brent, I am at Sofa King Brad. And I post videos whenever we're going to do shows that Brent hates. So of me talking.
They're not flattering.
He hates me talking.
It's just like, your voice is beautiful and you're a handsome guy, but on video, it just didn't translate. I don't know. I was just a little uncomfortable with
it. He didn't like my first one, but the second one was better, I guess.
Did you take a take two? Like, if did it make sense?
I don't give a shit.
Apparently.
I ain't trying to impress anybody. Look at me. Yeah. You liked it.
I'm an asshole. Dave does have at Sofa King David for the record.
Yeah.
And he is marketing it now. Yes. So if you haven't gone and followed Dave and you follow
your mark.
All right, Brent's controlling the Instagram, but whatever. Dave does have one. He posts his very own pictures on there.
Post my own pictures.
The promotion of Dave. And if you follow Sofa King Podcast and you're not following Dave, go follow at Sofa King David.
Mm-hmm. And if you have any questions about being gay or being transsexual, please direct them to Brent at Sofa King Brent.
I don't know a lot about it. I'll do my best.
He knows a lot about it. So just remember, listen to our next episode. What's coming up next? We are talking about, what's Friday's show? What are we talking about? Oh, Scientology.
Yes.
That's what it's going to be Friday. So have a happy Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Just end this thing. It's like a fucking dying animal.
Don't be retarded.
Money on my motherfucking mind. Cut 5 haircuts at the same time. White gold pants, jet ski made of wine. Foie gras bust of Albert Einstein. Get money. Money at my motherfucking mouth. A mansion, a ranch, and a camp in a town. A motherfucking store with the floor made of scalps. Bobby from the block don't got rocks, he got Alps. Get money. Money in a motherfucking jar. Shark fin pastry, summers on Mars. 20 motherfuckers in a levitating car. 747 full of women and cigars. Get money. Money in a motherfucking pot. A castle full of cars and a yard full of yachts. A leopard with a mink and an arm full of clocks. All hand wound every day by a spot. Get money. Money, 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 money. Money is a motherfucking joke. 40 bald eagles sewn into a coat. Zoo with the crib, mermaid in the moat. Buy another strip mall every eighth note. Get money. Money ain't a motherfucking bribe. It's a sport I invented to win when I watch. And own all the rights and the lights and the locks. Even own all the ice and the Sprite you just dropped. Get money. Money of your motherfucking life. Two-ton angel carved out of ice. Alligator sailboat, dollar sign ice. Fill a warehouse full of Van Goghs twice. Get money. Money or your motherfucking heart. I could give it to my dog. He makes money when he barks. Support it in my fridge or in one of my parks that I bought so my robots could learn how to LARP. Get money. Money, 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 money